This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, the Astro 20-year exclusive concession, otherwise known as a monopoly, ended in 2017. And now, 2 years later, there is apparently a new pay TV player in the market in the form of Sirius TV. And Sirius TV will be offering 30 channels, including Channel News Asia, ABC Australia, Trace Sports Stars and CCTV and others.
Yeah, this Sirius spelled with two I's, by the way. Is it
like
two
Siri,
I's?
Right? Siri like, from the iPhone.
Yeah, well, they are owned by Smart Digital International, which is in turn owned by Orion and Sirius International. Now, its CEO, Khairuddin Abdul Rahman, has quoted it as a family-owned business. So, is he a stranger to satellite business? And apparently he's not, because a report has described him as a veteran in industry since 1995. He delivered broadband via satellite to 5,000 mostly remote public schools in Sabah and Sarawak through the Ministry of Education SchoolNet program from 2004 to 2010. And he's also been involved in various regional and global satellite organizations.
Yeah, back in 2004, like 15 years ago, he was CEO, if this is the right same person, he was CEO of Smart Digital Communications, which at that time entered into a partnership with this company called Mobif Berhad. That company was listed, but subsequently, I think, ran into financial troubles. But they were providing a kind of voice over broadband. Remember those days? Voice over broadband.
VoIP or something like that, was it?
And now it's just normal, right? It's just our normal service that we use. We don't do voice anymore.
Now, what is interesting is that there is going to be another competitor against Astro. When you see Astro themselves facing pretty tough times, right? Because you look at the corporate results of Astro, it's not been smooth sailing for them. Definitely revenue has come down, subscriber growth has plateaued. They do feel the impact of all these, whether it's the AVOD or the SVOD players, so the likes of iFlix, Netflix, kind of affecting market share, you know, and cutting the cord is the norm now. I mean, and this
very
is not,
much the norm.
And it's not helped by the fact that internet penetration is so high in Malaysia. And it's not even just at homes. So many people are actually watching content on their smartphones.
Yeah, I binge watch YouTube these days, even though with those advertisements, although the advertisements are like 5 seconds or 10 seconds, it certainly gives revenue to Google. But one would question whether Sirius TV would be a threat to Astro. In fact, Astro is now no longer a threat. And in fact, Astro is being threatened by other players like Netflix and so on. So Sirius TV, the channels that are being cited here, like Channel News Asia and some of the sports channels and CCTV and so on, seems like they're not the news channel. And whether it will make a dent for Astro is another matter, because Astro has spent a lot on content, right, with the dramas and the movies and so on.
Sports especially.
And sports, those are very expensive content. So the question is whether this new Sirius TV will be a serious challenger in content, because you need a lot of money for that.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix alone spent something like $9 billion on creating original content. And even the likes of free-to-air Media Prima, joint venture with iFlix to produce vernacular Malay content, which is very popular. So I'm curious, what kind of shows will Sirius have? What kind of pricing model does it have? Because recently Netflix launched a 17 ringgit package only for phones and iPads. So now that's the cheapest there is on the street for the subscriber-based ones. And iFlix is completely free if you're prepared to watch the advertisements, for example.
Yeah, there's so many free ways, free entertainment content on the internet as well. I'm not sure if it's writing on a wall for media companies in Malaysia. We've got this kind of cable or satellite media. We've also got news, right? A lot. The news industry has been very challenging because print news, they are not doing as well as before because people are turning to the online news for news consumption. And this is other news here. In fact, I don't know whether it lends some support to the idea that the news sector is being challenged. Vincent Tan's company, Singer, is Berjaya Media's white knight. Berjaya Media, of course, own the Sun newspaper.
Well, we already saw the, you know, Utusan closing this year, right? I mean, regardless of whether it was the oldest newspaper in Malaysia and, you know, it didn't end well for them. And unfortunately, all the staff have been let go. So for sure, there is a structural decline, especially for print. Maybe now it's moving on to even things like satellite TV, cable TV, because disruptors aren't disruptors anymore. They are a way of life. And we had this conversation with Jahaba Sadiq, right, the owner of Malaysian Insight. And he says that, you know, you need to evolve very quickly because everything is about video, short messages, short content. Nobody wants to read long articles anymore. It's, you know, so definitely all media outlets have to evolve. Whether they evolve fast enough, that's the big question.
All right, I hope they don't do away with the long articles because I will read them when I find the time, but I like to store them somewhere. Okay, meanwhile, a staggering 9 out of 10 Malaysians are looking to emigrate for better career opportunities and work-life balance overseas. The top countries are Australia, Singapore and Japan.
Yeah, this is a survey from Randstad, and it shows that Malaysia has a higher than the Asia Pacific and Southeast Asian average, and perhaps highlighting the chronic situation of our brain drain, which is something we hear and we talk about. So now there's some real data on it, and of course the top countries chosen, and you probably can guess it, Australia, Singapore, and Japan, because these countries are perceived to be able to provide higher salaries, support healthier work-life initiatives, and of course, have better currency exchange rates. So yeah, you could earn the same money for the job, but let's face it, 4,000 Singapore dollars is equivalent to 12,000 ringgit, right? That's a lot more money.
And but then you've got to spend it in a very high-cost Singapore.
Well, yes, but you probably still, when you bring your savings back, it's probably still going to be a lot more.
Yeah, so you have something left behind.
Yeah,
in fact, you might have a lot left behind.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised if there is this part of a brain drain. I mean, and the study also showed that 80% of Malaysians surveyed want a job role that allows them to travel, and they want to gain new perspectives, learn new skills, and, you know, build this global network of connections.
The youth looks to be the most willing to emigrate, with 94% of them saying that they want to emigrate. I'm not sure whether they're doing the 3D work, which they can do in Malaysia, although not paying as much. Probably if you go to Singapore, Australia or Japan, doing the 3D work, they might be paying more. Or whether, you know, the question is whether these youths have the required skill set to work in those countries in higher skilled jobs.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, the youth, particularly them, it does make sense, right? Because you, at that juncture in your life, what have you got to lose? Let's say you just come out of university. Other than maybe some family commitments, you yourself haven't started your own family unit. So perhaps that is the best time, or you think that is the best time to explore opportunities overseas. It was increasingly quite common, you know, if you talk to family households, at least like one child is working in Singapore or Hong Kong in urban KL. And people cite salary for the reason. And also job opportunities.
Actually, immigration is one of the very common features across economies around the world. If you look at the largest economy in the world, United States, that country is made up of immigrants, and the immigrants have actually contributed quite a bit to those economies over there. And Malaysia, of course, is a country of immigrants as well. I mean, a lot of the immigrants from the old days have been naturalized to be citizens of this country. But today, we also see the foreign workers here, and they are working very hard. You see them every day. They are making a hard day's work.
Yeah, for sure. But therein lies the dilemma about the labour reform. I mean, we've had many conversations with economists that, yes, we still need foreign labour, perhaps for the industries where locals don't want to work. But in a way, they also provide a floor to wages. So they provide a source of cheap labour. And in many ways, or this discourages sometimes manufacturing companies or even companies from moving up the value chain, from really looking at industrialisation. And without this industrialisation, it's going to be difficult to actually have wage increase, which seems to ail us tremendously and be a problem on so many levels, right? Because that means you can't afford houses, people have no savings. This is a debate that, you know, you can't easily resolve. So, yes, foreign labours, they do a really good job. I mean, they work very hard, but is that the right way we should be resolving our labour shortages?
Good question. And it's coming up to the 7:30 a.m. news. And after that, we'll look into the new Peronist president of Argentina. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.